Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. I mean, it's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
He's here, everybody, every Tuesday at 5 o'clock, unless we're preempted by the Mariners, here with Wyman and Bob. We bring in the one, the only, El Hombre, Michael Bradley, who joins us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. How are you, Michael?
Hey.
Hey, what did you...
Wait, what was that?
That's from What's Happening.
What's Happening.
Thank you. Well
there
done.
There we go.
Yeah.
Nice, Bob.
That was from Dwayne, right?
Hey. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Raj and Rerun.
Raj. Come on.
And Rerun.
And Rerun, Fred Berry, tremendous dancer.
Yeah, he
Shirley
was.
Hemp Hill, the whole gang.
Yeah. Who played D? Wasn't that the sister?
You're killing me. I know. I don't know.
Okay.
Why? She was the sort of prototype for the wise guy little sister.
Yeah, giving the older brother a hard time.
Well, we'll give
always.
You a pass on that one. I mean, that's a tough call.
Yeah. If I had come up with that one, I probably should have been institutionalized.
Yeah. Or you had a really lonely childhood, something like that. But yeah.
Yeah, well,
hey, what did you? I was sort of surprised by the comments from Roger Goodell today. Did you see those for those
yeah.
just tuning in? He was talking. The league is trying to get a longer suspension for Deshaun Watson. They are appealing that whole thing. And he said, we've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence, talking about Sue L. Robinson, who was the disciplinary officer in the first case that handed down the punishment. She reinforced the evidence. There were multiple violations that were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. I was a little surprised that came from him, because there's a belief out there that the league would go, okay, punishment's been handed down. Let's get this out of the headlines. Let's stop talking about it. It's bad for the Shield. Yet him coming out and being that pointed in his comments about it was a little surprising to me.
No, I was not surprised at all for a couple of reasons. Number one, if Watson plays this year, he becomes the story every time he plays. There's going to be protests outside stadiums, home and away. The media is going to be writing about this. People are going to be asking about this. This is a really bad look for the league, and giving it a year to cool off some will get rid of a lot of problems. The second is, I read today that there's some owners out there that don't like the way the contract was structured, that Watson really doesn't get hit with any real losses this year, even if he gets suspended. So saying, okay, we're only going to hit you with 6 games, which is very light, and the contract was set up so that it wasn't going to be really punitive if he missed substantial time, that angered some of the owners. Remember, Goodell works for the owners. Goodell's not going to say anything that's going to anger owners. I mean, unless, you know, he's going to anger the owner of the Browns, but who cares? It's 31-1. But he's saying stuff that the other owners are going to back him up on.
What do you think Roger Goodell uses? Because, I think we agreed on this last week that he wants to take the pulse of the nation, and, you know, he wants to, you know, obviously he's making decisions for the owners and wants to expand the brand and everything. Where do you think he gets, like, his intel for things like that to determine, you know, whether something like this needs to happen?
Well, I mean, I imagine that the communications team and the legal team at the NFL offices are in pretty constant contact with him. That, you know, the communications team puts the finger in the air and sees what, you know, how the wind's blowing. The legal team says, okay, here's what we can get away with or what we should be doing. And then the owners are the ones that have the final say. I mean, if you know, Falseface and the rest of the gang, you know, Arthur Blank and Kraft and the rest of those guys say to Goodell, hey, 6 games is fine, let's get on with it, then 6 games is fine, there's no appeal. But evidently they're not too happy with this on a number of levels, and that's why they're going after this, and they're going to get it. There's no way he appoints this guy and says, hey, you know, if you say 7 or 8, that's fine. They're going after a year, they're going to get a year.
You think that was going to be my next question. You think they get a year suspension, and do they get the they were looking for, I didn't see the number, but there was a substantial monetary fine they were looking for as well. You think they get all of it?
Yeah, I think there's a sliding scale. You know, if it's a year suspension, the fine will be lower, but I still think it's going to be 7 figures, and it might be 8. So here's the thing. If he plays at all this year, no matter when he does,
that he had coming to him contractually.
He wasn't punished last year. Be clear about this. He didn't want to play for Houston. This was not that if he had said to Houston, hey, I want to show up, he would have played. So this wasn't he missed a year because of him, not because of the league or any punishment.
Right.
Do you think Cleveland's kind of sort of headed the way of Miami, Washington, Houston? I mean, there's a few owners there, and I don't know. It just seems like there was the Hugh Jackson allegation about tanking and things like that, that maybe Cleveland is starting to fight their way into the clown show organizations.
Let's hope so. I mean, I'd love that. I mean, yes, first of all, it's an Ohio team. Second of all, they traded for this guy. They gave him that ridiculous contract. They're basically saying, we don't care what he did. He can play football, and that's enough for us. So, you know, I just look at it as, if you know, you reap what you sow sometimes. And I think that this is a situation when if he gets suspended for a year, he'll come back next year. He will not have played for 2 years. He'll have lost 2 years of his prime, and it will be a situation where how well does he come back? What's the dynamic on the team, et cetera, et cetera. Now, Cleveland may say, okay, suspend him for a year. We'll stink. We'll get a good draft choice, or we'll have a good draft choice, trade it. You know,
Now, here's a bit of trivia quickly, and we'll move on. But do you remember when his dancing got him in trouble?
No.
Bob was a lonely child.
Go ahead. It's gonna hit me when you say it.
He was bootlegging a Doobie Brothers concert, and he was dancing in the front row, and his tape recorder, which was one of those old school tape recorders that you have to hit two buttons to hit record, came falling out on the floor, and the whole concert stops, and the band
That's
points classic. To the ground. Like, look!
First of all, you love the reruns in the front row of the Doobie Brothers concert, and B, that he's bootlegging a Doobie Brothers concert.
And,
okay?
and that they all stop playing right in the middle
How
of the concert.
That live version of taking it to the streets.
Pointing at the recorder that's
exactly.
laying on the ground.
I hope it was pre-Michael McDonald, because that's when the Doobie Brothers really went downhill.
How dare you. How dare
Oh, please. You. What a fool. Believe.
Oh,
please.
Michael McDonald's a gift. You stop it right now.
I'm with El Hombre.
Freakly.
There's some great stuff with Michael McDonald. Anyway,
please.
All right.
Did it by,
go ahead,
did
Dave.
It by, so, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Hey, what do you think about, you know, Sue Bird just retired. Now, you guys don't have a WNBA team.
No.
Philadelphia. But as far as popularity, I mean, you know, we talked about Sue Bird's one of the great all-time Seattle athletes.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
You know, we were talking about the Mount Rushmore, you know, Ken Griffey Jr.,
yes.
Steve Largent, Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
whatever.
Gary Payton.
Gary Payton, probably. But, yeah.
Wally
it's just
Walker.
Wally Walker?
No.
No. No, but I mean, it's just we got some heat, like, oh, you guys finally cover them. But I mean, as far as like the popularity and the you know, one somebody said if you had an NBA team here that it might help the WNBA. But do you ever watch the W? I like watching women's basketball. I feel like it's more disciplined and
it's more based on the fundamentals.
Yeah, more fundamental.
Well, that's what John Wooden always said. Yeah. I have to be honest, I do not watch a lot of it. Partly because there's no Philadelphia team. But then again, I don't watch a lot of NBA. Yeah. I watch a ton of college, and I'm watching more women's college than I have. But I don't watch a lot of a lot of NBA. And you know, not having a team hurts. I mean, that's the thing. Philadelphia, it's surprising. I think part of it is the ownership group hasn't made a push for it. They've started to do that. The other thing is the Sixers aren't the primary tenant in their arena. And as a result of that, you know, they don't really have a lot of control over the dates of when a team would play. So that may be a factor also. But there is now, you know, more people are getting sort of behind the idea. If the WNBA expands again, I wouldn't be surprised to see a team put in Philadelphia.
Hey, Michael, what is your you know, I'm seeing these headlines about different players in the NFL requesting trades. Kareem Hunt, not happy with his contract situation in Cleveland. He wants to be traded. Then I saw this morning, Bears linebacker Roquan Smith said in a written statement that he has requested a trade after contract negotiations between him and the team reached an impasse. Is this happening more often, or is it just the media is just so present that it's always it feels like I'm hearing this more and more. Deebo Samuel wanted to be traded, then he got a new deal. But there's a lot of public "I want out" comments coming. Does it seem more frequent?
Well, I mean, it might because we're seeing it in the NBA so much. I mean, but there's a big difference. The NBA players, if they say, "I'm not playing," and they're a star, then that really hurts the team, right? You only get five guys playing at one time. Now, taking Deebo Samuel away from San Francisco would have been huge. But in the NFL, there's a lot more power that the teams have because there's 53 players. The contracts are not necessarily guaranteed. You know, you have guaranteed money, but they're not guaranteed like the NBA deals. And I look at it as this is negotiating time, right? Everybody's always got – they want their new contract. They're not getting enough money. Kareem Hunt saying, "I'm not." You know, the problem with Kareem Hunt is he's not the featured back. That's Nick Chubb, so he's not going to. He's one of those guys where how many touches is he going to get? Not how many, how many carries. And he's a different kind of weapon. He wants featured back money, and he's not a featured back. This is all negotiating. They'll all sign a deal before the season starts because it's in both sides' interest. But the difference between Kevin Durant going nuts with the Nets and "I want the general manager and the coach fired" is Kevin Durant's one of the two or three best players in the NBA, and he's the key to a successful season for the Nets, whereas these other guys, well, we can get along without you for a while.
You know, we need to have some kind of a bet between our show and you of who's city makes the MLB playoffs. You think you got a playoff team out there, I see.
You don't want to make that bet because
60 wins.
The Orioles are charging up on you. You got issues, man. The Phillies have a 74% chance in one thing and 91% chance of another. They're playing good ball, and they got a lot of crappy teams left on their their schedule. I mean,
however,
they play the Let's Goes and the Braves, but, I mean, they got seven games with the Reds. They got four more with the Pirates. It's wonderful.
Okay, but you are ranked, as far as strength of schedule, you're 22nd, so you're right. The Mariners, 30. We got 9 games with the A's, 7 with Detroit, 7 with the Angels, 6 with the Rangers. I don't know, man.
That's great. What do you want to bet? I mean, I'll be happy to, I'll send you some cheese. There's a thing called Taste of Philly that you can do. You can send out tasty cakes and cheesesteaks and hoagies and stuff. I'll send that out to you.
They'll be wrapped in gum bands and stuff. It'll be good.
No, that's Pittsburgh. How many times do we have to tell you?
Come on, Yinz. I heard somebody saying that.
That's a Yinzer. That's a Pittsburgh person. Don't even try.
Hey, I get to fly to Pittsburgh on Friday. I'm so excited.
Good for you.
Yeah,
so,
I can't wait.
By the way, Primanti Brothers sandwiches are overrated. Why are you going to Pittsburgh?
Preseason football game.
They're making the Seahawks go all the way to Pittsburgh for preseason?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. We also go to Dallas. So
that's horrible.
Yeah. Used to be we'd stay on the –
You guys should be playing San Francisco, Vegas, the Rams, the Chargers, the Phoenix Cardinals. Cardinals,
tell
that's
me
a big
it.
Flight. But
tell me
you got to go
it.
Transcontinental. Or as
anyway.
The kids say, Transcontinental. No T there.
We will definitely get something down on the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, have you been to the Pirates Stadium?
Tremendous.
It looks awesome on TV.
Everybody.
It looks so cool on TV.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a lot. I was at Sky Dome a couple weeks ago when my buddies and I went up to Toronto. I've been to I've been to the Cleveland. I've been to New Comiskey, of course, Wrigley, Fenway, Philadelphia. Where else have I been recently? Baltimore, of course, Camden Yards a few times. I've been to Chavez Ravine, but I really like Pittsburgh. That's top five for sure. I mean, you take Fenway and Wrigley out there in their own class. But in the new ones, this is a real good one.
What about just overall? And where it could be, a field house, or it could be, Green
the Palestra.
Bay.
The Philadelphia Palestra. It's been around since 1928. Palestra. It's where the Penn basketball games are played. There's some big five, college basketball games in Philadelphia played. It is an old barn. Acoustics are horrible. You're sitting on bleachers. It's a rectangle if you're up in one of the corners, But there's no better place. I told my wife, if I begin to die, take me to the Palestra. I want to die there.
If I begin to die.
And that's a line from Arthur. John Gielgud is where, remember, he brings in all the stories.
Oh.
He puts the hat on him. He goes, if I begin to die, please remove this hat.
Yeah, so good.
I got to say, Green Bay, when I went there in 2019, the playoffs, but I went as a player, and it's kind of like the Packer Stadium.
The frozen tundra.
Frozen tundra, yeah.
Lambeau
is like kind of in the middle of a neighborhood, and there was like people selling their front yard space, which I would never.
For parking.
Yeah, for parking, and you know, it kind of had almost like a high school football. It's not the same now, but I got to say, you know, as much as that's hyped up, Lambeau Field's pretty good, pretty high.
And it's funny, a friend of mine who was a Packers fan went there the year they went to the Super Bowl for the first time since the 60s, and he didn't have a ticket, but first of all, he shows up near the stadium, and people in the neighborhood are like, what are you doing? He goes, well, I don't have a ticket. I'm like, come on in and watch the game. And then afterwards, they opened up the stadium and let anybody who wanted to come in watch the celebration. I think they beat the Panthers for the NFC Championship. And he was, you know, he could just walk right in and he got to watch the you know, it is a community feel. I mean, the people own the team. You know, there's no owner sitting back there with a big cigar saying, we're going to sell Paul Hornung. You know, it's the players, the people hold stock in the team.
You know, there was one stadium that you did not mention. It's T-Mobile Park.
T-Mobile.
What's that?
Is sweet.
What are you talking about? What's that? That's Seattle.
I don't know my sponsors. Tell me a city for crying out loud.
Seattle.
Oh, I've never been.
You need to be.
Get out here.
You need to have been here.
Hey, you know what?
I'm sure it's nice. And the Petco Park is, from what I understand, real nice, too.
Yeah. In San Diego, yeah.
But I'm thinking he can come out and personally deliver whatever.
I'll come out and
win.
Deliver anything, but I'm not paying the freight. And you know, as I said, there's got to be a plumbing supply company or you know a discount colonoscopy place or some place that you can use that your sales staff can find.
It's a drive-through. Actually,
that's where you want
a
discount.
It's a guy with a miner's helmet on. You know, with the lights on.
Discount colonoscopy. It came in a Groupon. It's good. It's going to be good. You'll be fine.
Exactly.
You'll be
fine. The cleanse is easy.
Hey, speaking of that, because I know that Aaron Rodgers does all that kind of stuff. Did you hear this latest thing about his expanding his mind?
Oh yeah,
ayahuasca,
hallucinogens. How about that? Yeah.
And I was asking the question. I'm like, hey, wait, is this on the list? I found out today.
It's
I guess it's not on the list.
No, I know he's clear with it. I mean, I'm sure. Hey, look, there's no way he's going to take something like that, come out and tell everybody, and it's on the list, right? That would be. I mean, he's done some screwy things, but I think that he would be. He would be pretty clear that he wouldn't be broadcasting that he took an illegal substance. So,
well, did you hear the things that he was saying, though? I mean,
I pay so little attention to what he says.
Yeah.
Oh, he was in full hippie mode, if you will. He was talking about, you know, it was like 1,000 fingers on me and teaching me self-forgiveness and, you know, just all about love and the journey. It was like,
wonder if he forgave himself for blowing that game against San Francisco last year in the playoffs.
I'll tell you a quick story
about that. I'm in Michigan, and they used to have movies, you know, third-run movies at all the auditoriums. And once Friday night, I wanted to go to it with a bunch of guys. And unbeknownst to me, all five of them dropped acid. So there's a standalone bell tower at Michigan, and we're walking across campus to get to this auditorium, and they all stop at the bell tower, press their bodies up against it, and look up, and they're like, whoa! And I'm like, what? I don't get it. So I'm sitting with a whole bunch of complete burnouts, and I'm like, hey, what do you guys think of the movie? Oh, the colors, man. It's like, oh, wow, okay. Now I know what's going on.
Wasn't it Larry Hagman that he dropped acid that, like, changed his life or something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll change your life, all right, especially you get the savage flashbacks.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers sounds like he's at peace. He's found his third eye, and he's seeing things differently these days. His new girlfriend, what is her name again, Lefko? Is it Blue of Earth or something?
Yes, but like B-L-U or something.
Blue
of Earth. Is her name. Yeah. I'm guessing it's not her birth name, but Blue of Earth is his new girlfriend.
That's nice. Yeah, and seriously, that's all you need, right? You're the Packers hierarchy, and you're trying to gear up for a great season. He shows up with his hair down in the middle of his back, having dropped hallucinogens, talking about 1,000 fingers, dating, you know, the mountain girl or something, and you're like, okay, let's get it together. I mean, you can only imagine what this season's going to be.
That gets you fired up for the season.
Yeah, and they just paid him, what, $50 million a year is his average on his extension?
Knows. I mean, he better deliver and win a playoff game for a change.
He said it's no coincidence he's played as well as he has since his enlightenment. So there you go.
Well, there you go. Since the enlightenment? He's on that the 17th, 18th centuries.
The Age of Enlightenment?
Age of Enlightenment. Wait, you serve breakfast any time? I want French toast in the Age of Enlightenment.
Swingers. There you go.
Nice.
Very nice.
Good call.
And then what was her retort when he was like kicking himself?
He's like, you just get that? Yeah, I know. This is so-and-so died, right? I get it. And she's like, I don't have any time for this. It was great that she knew. That was really good that she picked
it
up.
Hold on, Voltaire.
Yeah. That's what it was.
If somebody said that now, like, huh? What?
Michael, great stuff as always. You can follow him on Twitter at Daily Ombre. At Daily Ombre is where you find him on Twitter. Those interactions are still going well, I take it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And there was a tribute to Dave Sims on there, Seattle guy on there today. I had to jump on and say how great he was.
Okay. Well, there you go. Perfect. So you can interact with him on Twitter at Daily Ombre, and you find him here every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Thanks, man. We'll do it again next week.
So long, suckers.
There you go. Michael Bradley throwing out some trivia there from movies and TV shows.
You got a line from Swingers. We got
What's Happening. What's Happening.
The entire cast.
Yeah. I used to love that show as a little kid. So good. All right, coming up, it's time for the Mariners' ace to emerge. We'll explain what we're talking about next. It is Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
We continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletics Center. Seahawks have wrapped things up for the day. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710. A reminder, you can always connect with us over the text line, Mac and Jack's text line, 421-3776. That's where the mean texts come in for Fridays, but we collect them during the week if they're good. If they're good. You know, just be creative. That's all we ever ask of you.
Send them in on your hot plate this week.
On your hot place. See, Lefko likes
now
that.
You're talking about the EQC tracer. You're talking about there.
But this, you like hot plate.
Hotline. I don't know. The words that have been coming out lately just surprising.
You're losing track of where you are. What was I talking about? Yeah. What was going on?
Well, you sent us down a rabbit hole, Bob.
Did I?
Yeah. Remember it was illusion of complexity.
Oh, right.
And
then
I think we went to Jimmy Garoppolo, and then all of a sudden we were talking about Sam Haggerty or something like that. So see that I'm blaming you.
Yeah, we're pinballing everywhere. My bad. Hey, reminder, the Mariners taking on the Yankees tonight, and the T-Mobile Park roof will be open.
What'd you call it?
That's a roof, not a roof. It's
not
a roof.
Rough.
It's a roof. the Mariners roof report is covered by Acton's Quality Roofing.
By the way, did we ever get a response from Jen in Beaverton? Because she sent in the Tootsie Roll, grape Tootsie Roll wrapper, and she had a grape Tootsie Roll available right there.
Yeah, that was an odd coincidence.
Yeah,
just happened to have a purple Tootsie Roll, and it's purple.
So she puts it next to, I think it was like an iPad cover or something that was like periwinkle.
Yeah, you know, it was sort of violet color.
And then there was like a dark blue, like gunmetal blue.
She sent this picture into our Twitter page, which you guys can follow. I do a terrible job promoting this. At Wyman and Bob on Twitter. At Wyman and Bob on Twitter, or at Bob Stelton on Twitter. But she says, I rest my case. So she's got...
Oh, my goodness.
Can you see that?
Yeah, she's got like a whole color chart. She's getting
a little color wheel.
Very scientific about it. She's very committed.
Yeah,
should be committed.
This was what they called the mic drop. She just went, I rest my case. Done. She was. It's her version of the end.
Yeah.
Here, the end.
look, Shannon Dreyer's on our side. I know that. She texted in, so yeah. Anyway, it's purple.
You can send in all the color wheels you want. It's purple. But, a reminder, you can follow us on Twitter, at Wyman and Bob, at Bob Stelton. That's where all the good stuff happens. So we got the Mariners sending Luis Castillo out for a second start as a Seattle Mariner. Everybody very happy with the first start. Bunch of strikeouts. Gave up a couple runs. Looked like he may have fatigued a bit toward the end. Walked a couple guys. But he's got plus stuff. He's a guy who looks like a top-of-the-rotation guy. And this will be his first home game as a Seattle Mariner, which will be interesting. He was, I think in the notes you had it. Yeah, he was spotted a 6-0 lead last time he went out. I don't know that he's going to have that luxury this time. So, obviously, he'll be out there first since they're at home. But Do you look at him now and say, well, that's the – if somebody said, Dave, I've not watched the Mariners this year, who's the ace of the staff?
Yeah.
What would your answer be?
I would say him.
Can he be the ace when he's only pitched one game for your team?
Well, no. No, I guess not. I mean, I think right now is Marco number one in the lineup or is it Robbie Ray?
Robbie Ray was your opening day starter.
Yeah. So, you know, and then I would say like –
And then it went Logan, then it went Marco.
Right. Well, and that was because of a matchup thing.
Yeah, lefty-righty.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Logan, even though you look at the Yankees – touched him up pretty bad. I mean, but if you look at the numbers that he had against Houston, who is also a really good team, I mean, you could make the case for maybe next year it's Logan Gilbert. I mean, you know, look, he had two quality starts against Houston.
Yeah.
And that's including guys like Yordan Alvarez. I mean, that, a home run, he gave up one home run, but just four earned runs in the two outings. And then he just got... He got shelled by the Yankees the last two times. He's given up 13 runs.
It's like Robbie Ray with the Astros, though. He goes out there and just gets torched by them, but then his last start, 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, 1 run. You know, it is a weird matchup thing. Is our guy, one of our favorite people in the building, comes over and hooks us up with water, Matt Thomas. Just a prince of a man. Thank you so much for
really
that, man.
Is.
But yeah, I mean it's a weird matchup thing, and Ryan Roland Smith, I think we were talking to about it, saying, or maybe it was Blowers, one of those two, just talking about, you know, hey, some of these teams just see the ball differently from a certain pitcher, and as a group collectively, they have a field day with them, and that same pitcher goes out and shuts everybody else down. So that seems to be the case with Logan Gilbert when he faces the Yankees, or when Ray goes out there and faces the Astros.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, but I think, you know, I believe in that. I believe in that there are certain, you know, matchups that are good. I was talking about in the NFL, my career, there were certain guys that I just didn't have that much of a problem for, you know, with, for whatever reason.
Barry Sanders, yeah.
Barry Sanders, you know, that was such a team thing that, like, if I'd ever had to tackle Barry Sanders in the open field, I would have just closed my eyes and picked a side.
I'm just committing to the side.
Your eyes are going to lie to you, whatever he does. But, you know, Bo Jackson, yeah, I mean, he never really – I mean, the Barry Sanders thing was a total team effort. You know, I remember he was – it was like in Top Gun, I'm not leaving my wingman.
Yeah.
I would be, like, on the backside A-gap, and he would be sweeping, you know – you know, all the way out to the sidelines.
You'd stay in the backside A-gap.
I'd stay in my A-gap, and he comes all the way back over, make the tackle. So
who gave you a hard time? Was it Christian Okoye?
Yeah, Okoye, you know, I won more battles than people think, but yeah.
There's a false image out there that you were owned by the Nigerian Nightmare.
Yeah, there was a shot, and I remember Sports Illustrated. Like, I only got my name in Sports Illustrated, like, twice, and one of them was, you know, he left linebacker Wyman on flat on his back. And I'm like, it made it sound like he just plowed right over me when really it was.
You're like, nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, so, but, I mean, yeah, he was a tough matchup. But, yeah, I think that's the case for, you know, maybe the Yankees just have Logan Gilbert figured out. It's only two games. I mean, and they played him earlier. I don't remember if he – I don't think he's pitched against him. So for whatever reason, they, you know, they touched him up pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Castillo very easily could become the ace of the staff. He's got that stuff. He just does. But – I don't know that I could call him that, if, you know, answering my own question. If somebody who hadn't watched the Mariners all year said, Bob, who's the ace of the staff? I haven't seen a single moment. I probably would lean toward Logan. I think he's had the better year from start to where they're at now over Robbie Ray. And Castillo's pitched one game. And so that would be, you know, and this is, I know that's a lot of bold talk coming off last night's performance because he was not great. He got lit up. But I just think we're talking in totality who they've been, It's been Logan for me, and it may very well turn into Castillo going into next season, and maybe as this season wears on and you get it hopefully into the postseason, he becomes – that'll be the true tell-all is, all right, you get into a short series, you're going with three pitchers, four pitchers. How does Scott Servais set it up?
Yeah.
You know, is he going to go, all right, Castillo's our one, Gilbert's our two, Ray's our three, or maybe flips Ray and Gilbert, I'm not sure. Maybe he puts Marco in there. I don't know, but those are the three.
Marco's kind of a difficult one, too. You know, like there are times where he'll get lit up early and then he'll, you know, steady the ship and be great the rest of the way.
He ends up giving you a quality start.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a knack for doing that. So We'll see, but it's a good problem to have. Like, well, who's the ace? It's not that nobody's worthy of it. It's like, well, you got three guys you could throw that tag on at this particular point. All right, the Seahawks' first depth chart of the season is out. What does it mean for the quarterback competition? We'll talk about that coming up. It is Wyman and Bob live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Well, the Seahawks' first depth chart of the season is out. We talked about this at the beginning of the show, for those of you just tuning in. So this is, you know, first one of the season. They have yet to play a preseason game. It doesn't mean a ton, but it's kind of how they view the team as it sits right now on the heels of that mock game. The biggest battle on the field, or the most important one in the eyes of everybody, or it should be, is the quarterback battle between Geno Smith and Drew Lock. Right now they've got Geno Smith as the starter, which, okay, I get it. I mean, he's been doing all of the work with the ones. He was out there with the ones in the mock game. Drew was out there with the twos. So that makes sense to me. I'll be curious to see if it shifts depending on, you know, if they go out this weekend. I'm curious to see the split. Like, how much time does Geno get? How much time does Drew get? All of that. But that's the one most people are truly invested in.
Well, and I would say that I'm not going to overreact to this because, you know, like you said, you kind of take it with a grain of salt. But there really hasn't been enough. There's not been enough opportunities for Drew Lock to surpass Geno. Right. Yeah. I mean, the mock game was, you know, I mean, he had better stats in that game, but that's not enough to move the needle, really. And then all the stuff out of practice. So it's not surprising. But, you know, these next three preseason games are going to be really interesting. And we talked about this when the schedule got released because we kind of talked about preseason a little bit too long because of me, because I like the preseason.
Yeah, I keep forgetting there's only three games now.
Yeah, there's only three, and, you know, you got Dallas, Chicago, and Pittsburgh. And so I think you're going to see a good – I mean, I don't – maybe they sit DK, maybe Lockett, maybe Jamal, Quandre.
I don't know. You don't want to run Jamal or DK out there, I wouldn't think, just because they're both coming off injury.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't think – well, same thing with Quandre, too. I mean,
yeah.
Coming off the ankle thing. But But you're going to see a good amount of, and I want to see these quarterbacks. You know, this is, I mean, you've got a bunch of guys. It's a pretty competitive. You're going to play against guys that are going to be on the street, but still, it's still a pretty competitive situation. And it's by far the one sort of thing that would move, like I said, move the needle on if Drew Lock comes out. Remember Russell Wilson's coming out party was against the I remember I got to do the radio, which was really fun. Do the radio with Ray.
It was Kansas City, wasn't it?
At Kansas City. And I remember getting on the plane.
It was the third game of the preseason.
Third game of the preseason. Yeah. They just come off the Bronco game. And Pete was sitting in the front row. And he goes, "Hey, I don't know, he used to call me Y-Man, maybe because Calabro used to call me that.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?" I go, "That was bleeping awesome." He was laughing. But, yeah, he was all fired up and, you know, excited. So if I'd love to see, and I really don't care which one makes it. I think it would look a lot better. If it's Drew Lock and he goes out and lights it up, and then maybe the Broncos finish fourth in the division like Lewis Riddick predicted they would. I think people feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I think it definitely makes that trade more palatable if you get your starter in that trade.
Yeah.
You traded away your franchise guy, the greatest quarterback in the history of this organization, and that's not close, and you get your next starter there. Mm-hmm. That makes it feel like we won. We got the draft picks.
Won the trade.
We got, if Noah Fant has a good year, if, you know, so who's the other? Was it Shelby?
Shelby Harris.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're kind of keeping an eye on those guys more than maybe you otherwise would because of what the exchange was, you know, who was exchanged. So, yeah, if you're able to get your next starter, that's not a shot at Geno. I think I feel like we've got a pretty clear idea of who he is as a quarterback, and he's certainly capable. He can win a game for you. How many can he win through a 17-game season? I don't have a ton of faith in that personally, but you know, Drew Lock is the unknown. So there's that. There's the potential of what we don't really know about him, and they didn't really know how to use him in Denver. And they're now he's in a system where they're going to play to his strengths, and he's going to do a lot of checkdowns. And is, you know, I picture a high completion percentage, and it's going to be very efficient. Maybe it's not electric. Maybe it's not, you know, 50 yards in the air down the field the way Russell was, but it'll be kind of, you know, dink and dunk down the field. And as long as they're winning and they're scoring touchdowns, I don't think anybody cares.
Remember in, like, the meat of Russell's career here in Seattle, you'd get the – afterwards, you get the NFL Jesus, the stats, you know. And how many times he was 19 for 24, 18 for 23, about 230 yards, two touchdowns, zero interceptions. I mean, that's kind of what you're looking for from either quarterback. And I think, yeah, I think you're right. I think Geno, we kind of know who he is. And look, he got discounted quite a bit for the game against Jacksonville. It's a professional football team, you know, and I know they weren't worse against the pass than we were. Because the worst team against the pass last year was the Baltimore Ravens for whatever reason, But, yeah, I mean, he still made all those completions. And I saw there was a couple where he threw his wide receiver away from the defender. And, yeah, he did a really nice job. So I think it won't shock me if either, you know, if it's Drew Lock, it won't shock me if it's Geno Smith. But, you know, you're right. I mean, and we talked about this a few months ago that, like, it kind of needs to be Drew Lock because – you know, just for the franchise and for morale and the look of it and everything, it's like, okay, you had to trade away Russell Wilson, and so you got something back, and it would really stick it to Mark Rogers.
Oh yeah,
Russell's agent.
Yeah, it would be huge.
It would be
because
fun.
You get the draft compensation on top of it. So the other one of interest to me, the second most intriguing area is cornerback. And you got a lot of potential and possibility. We've talked about Tariq Woolen. We spoke with Kobe Bryant, and we both just love that guy. And people have been raving about what his training camp has been like so far. But when you look at the depth chart, it's Sidney Jones and Artie Burns. Trey Brown is not in there. He's hurt. So obviously he's not going to be on the list. But Kobe Bryant not on the list either.
Yeah. Well, and, I think will change. But Sidney Jones actually played pretty well. Artie Burns is an experienced guy. So I get that that's the depth chart. But I really am hoping that it is Trey Brown or maybe even Tariq Woolen. You know,
I'm rooting for Trey Brown, Kobe Bryant. That's what I want my two corners to be.
I totally agree. I think that's who it needs to be, and I think that's who it will be. But, you know, we'll see. Who was it saying? Was that Marquise Blair today that was talking about Woolen?
Yeah,
pumping him up. So
yeah, he's a fan.
Yep,
I like it. Like hearing that. All right, that's going to do it for us. Want to thank our guests today: Mike Blowers, Marquise Blair, Craig Gass, and El Hombre Michael Bradley. If you missed any of today's show, head to seattlesports.com, click the podcast tab, and click on our picture. And anything you missed is waiting for you there each and every single day. Click subscribe, then you'll never have to go through that again. You got the Yankees and Mariners game 2 coming up. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710.